So answering the questions to what is life all about, where am I going, where is this world going, that kind of stuff. And men have come up through the ages with their ideas on their answers to this. But apart from God, that stuff, and if you want to remember that this way, that stuff is just fluff, what men have come up with. Okay? The meaning of life stuff, their answers, is just fluff. They come up with their own ideas, but it really doesn't hold any water because it doesn't have God involved. And that really is what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about, is a look at life from the wisest man on earth, Solomon, looking at life and seeing that all is vain without God. Scientists of all ages, we talked about philosophers, but scientists of all ages have sought to discover and explain how our world works, to answer those questions, and have gone so far as to philosophize what used to be true science. True science is studying things and finding out why they work. You can have a theory, but then proving your theory or disproving it. But today, we have supposed scientists who push their theories more than truth and reality. They can't prove evolution, but they swear that that's science. All because they don't want to include God in it. They don't want to have God or recognize God anywhere in life. We even have entire religious philosophies and movements that have started and grown to try to give mankind peace and direction apart from God, the truth of God's word. Some religions go so far as to totally remove God, and we call them cults or false religions. They've put a focus on worship of something or other beings, Middle Eastern, Far Eastern religions, worshiping Buddha, Confucius, all these different things that men have come up with, all these men of history. Some even claim to use God's word as their foundation, just to make it sound good, because they know a lot of people, not as much anymore, but it used to be a lot of people claimed to be Christian, even though they really didn't follow God's word. And so in order to sway those people, they would say, well, we use the Bible, but this is our interpretation of it, or we have further revelation, like the Mormons. And they say, yes, we use the Bible, but we have further revelation, and this further explains things about how we ought to live. All because they want their ideas to have prevalence, to be preeminent, and not God. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, which we are going to look at today. And he wrote this book regarding his search for the meaning of life stuff. In God's wisdom and direction, it is included in his preserved word for us through all these ages. And then we have a lot to learn from it. But the main thing we want to remember as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes is that life on this world is vain or useless or worthless. That is, if it is lived without God at the center. That's what we have to remember. That if God is not at the center of our lives, of everything we do, it is vain. It is vanity. And that's what Solomon is bringing out in this book. And he tells us, I am writing this book. I have searched these things. In fact, I'm going to give you a few verses. Chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven, life on earth. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. And then in chapter 7 and verse 25, again, he says, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, the stuff of life, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And then in the next chapter, chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, he says, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, again, stuff of life. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Wise men who say, I have the answer. And they claim to know the answers of how to be happy and how to have peace. But here Solomon says, I'm the wisest man. God gave me wisdom. And I can tell you right now, they don't know what they're talking about. They say they do, but they don't. And so we're going to see what Solomon tells us about life in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to see the first 3 points this morning, and then the fourth point this afternoon in this afternoon's service. But the first thing I want us to see in the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll be going through a lot of different verses. I'll be reading them. Some you may want to turn to, some we will turn to and read together. But the first point we want to see in the book of Ecclesiastes about life is this: life ends the same for all. Life ends the same way for all. How? Death, which is the punishment for sin. You see, death is the appointed end for all. The Bible tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we know as Christians that there is coming a day when there will be people who do not die. They are immediately taken up to heaven in the rapture. But we all do have an appointment that if God does not come to take us in the rapture, we all have an appointment with death. It's a given. Our bodies break down. We all have that ahead of us. And so Solomon says throughout this book that death is appointed for all men. He says one event happeneth to them all in chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 20 says, all go into one place. All are of dust, and all turn to dust again. We all will disintegrate. In fact, in chapter 7, talking about death, he says, it is better to go to the house of mourning. Why? Or better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Why? Because that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. You see, Solomon is trying to remind his readers that it is best that we go to a funeral, that we notice when people we know die, and that we think of death every once in a while because it brings us back to the reality that that is appointed unto us. It's a sobering reality, not something we like to think about and talk about, but it must be done. Why? To keep us focused. That we will, as living people, those who still live, lay it to our heart and think, how much time do I have left? What have I done for God? What lays before me? Am I ready? All these questions that surround death, when we see someone we know and love die, and we begin to think of those things, we lay it to our heart. It causes us to pause and to think, what about me? And then in chapter 9, he says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Notice how he finishes that. He says, there is an evil among all things. He calls death what it is, an evil. And that's why I said in this point that my first point is this: life ends the same for all. It is death, the punishment of sin. Death in our world came because of sin. Solomon recognized that. But he says death comes to the righteous and the unrighteous the same. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that we escape physical death. It does mean, however, that we escape spiritual death. And that is our hope and our peace. But knowing that life ends the same for all, it is appointed for us all. The second part of this is that the remembrance of the dead is the same. In chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten." Now, as I said, we do have many philosophers that we have records, we have their writings recorded, and they're studied in universities. They are remembered. But many of them are remembered for being false, and for seeing that as their philosophy, as their ideas were implemented, it led to failure. And so they are not remembered in fame. They are not remembered for having great ideas. It falls away. And ultimately, all of it will be wiped out. And that's what Solomon is saying in chapter 2, verse 16. All of it will be wiped out. All of it will be forgotten when the true Creator rules and reigns. We have His word. We have His wisdom for us, preserved through the ages, that which we are to live by, that which endures, even though we see that death is coming. But think of this too, the remembrance of the dead. There have been many people who have lived, and there have been many people who have done great things in their lifetime, done very good things in their lifetime. But it may last for a generation or two of remembrance. Their children, their grandchildren, people they had influence on will say, "Oh, I remember so-and-so. They did this, or they said this, and that affected my life so much." But then those people pass away, and that person is no longer remembered. So the question for us today is this: knowing that death is coming, how far does your influence go? Now keep in mind as we go through all of this, that Solomon is saying, writing all these things with the idea that God is taken out of the equation. So I'm not saying as Christians, how does your influence grow? Because as Christians, we ought to have an eternal influence on people. But if God is taken out of the picture, how far does it go? How much power does the remembrance of one person really have going through the ages after they die? Solomon says we all end the same in death, and we lose remembrance. We're no longer remembered. So as I said, the first thing we see is that life ends the same for all. What is the second thing that Solomon brings out in this book about life stuff, things to keep in focus about life? Well, the second thing he says is that life is unpredictable. That is chaos, the result of man's free will to sin. The first thing we saw was life ends the same for all. Death is the punishment for sin. Now we see that life is unpredictable. There is chaos, which is the result of man's free will to sin. Have you ever asked or heard someone ask, "Why did that good person die so early and wicked people are left to live out their lives?" I've heard that a lot. We think it a lot. How could someone so good and with such good influence, why did God take them early? And it causes a lot of people to despair. It's caused a lot of people of weak faith to turn from the faith. Because they say, how could God take someone so good out of this world and let this wicked person continue to live? And that's what Ecclesiastes answers. Have you ever wondered how to answer that question? Well, I can tell you, it's in Ecclesiastes. And maybe you haven't thought about this before. I've answered it in many different ways, but as I've read Ecclesiastes and studied it, I've come to know how to answer that question when people ask it. And that is what we're going to see in the next point, that God is in control. But it also is this point, that there is chaos because of sin. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, tells us that all your hard work and wise stewardship can be wasted by the fool who follows you. So let's all turn to chapter 2 and verses 18 through 21. I want us to see this. It says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Why? Because I should leave it unto a man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. Solomon says, I have been given wisdom from God. I have worked hard to show the power of God in my kingdom. And many other men upon this earth have worked hard, have labored extremely hard, and used wisdom to gain and to be a blessing and to be an encouragement and to have a greater influence in this earth. But when they die, again, that first point, when death comes, who knows what's going to happen to all their labor, their inheritance? The kids who come behind, the one who inherits it, may be a fool and may waste it. And as he thought about that, he said, my heart began to despair. I worked myself into a fit of despair because I thought about all the foolish people who are following me. Solomon was wise. He knew what his sons were like. He knew what God had said. He could see what was coming. And all that hard work, building the temple, building his kingdom, making Israel the greatest nation upon earth, led by God Jehovah himself, he said, my sons can come and destroy it all. A fool can destroy it and ruin it. I've done all this work and it will go away because of the foolishness of those who follow. In wisdom, we can prepare. We can work hard. We can prepare for the future. We can try to take care of our families. But because of the chaos in this world, because of the sinfulness of each man upon this earth, it can all go away. It can all be lost. It can be wasted. And the second part of this is, as I said, that question, why do the righteous fall and the wicked prosper? He addresses that. Chapter 7, verse 15, he says this, there is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. In other words, perishes early. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Right there, he's specifically addressing why do good people die early and why do wicked men continue to live. He says it's truth. It happens. That is this life. And then in the next chapter, chapter 8 and verse 12, he says this, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged. The wicked man lives, continues to live in his sinfulness, in his wickedness. He says, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. He gives us that little glimmer of light. Yes, it seems like the wicked prosper, ongoing, day after day, and they don't ever face punishment. But he says, but this I know, they that fear God, it shall be well with them. Even if they're taken from this earth early, it shall be well with them. Why? Because we as Christians should be focused on more than just life on this earth. Our focus should be on heaven, on our eternal destiny. And too often we fall into the trap, even as Christians, of thinking about our lives here upon earth. It's very easy to do. We lose our focus. And Solomon here is trying to remind his readers, it will be well with them who fear God. So we see that the chaos of our hard work going away and being wasted. We see the chaos that seems to be the righteous fall early and the wicked prosper for a long time. And then we see that life does not always follow the path that we think it should. That's not fair. Chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance, chaos, happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. We don't know when we're going to die. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. That's why I said this point is this, that life is unpredictable. It is that chaos that comes from sin affecting our world that is a result of man's free will to sin. Life is not always fair. Life does not always go the way we think it ought, because things happen. You plan ahead, you prepare for activities, you prepare for the future. But if your reliance is upon your wealth, your laying up treasures upon this earth, you very well may be sorely disappointed. Yes, we should prepare. Yes, we should work and we should labor. That's not what Solomon is saying, that we just give up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. It's not worth anything. But all that we do should be with the focus of where is God in it. Am I serving God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Why do I live my life? Why do I do the things that I do in my life? Is it to serve self? That's going to be vain. That's vanity. Or is it to serve God? Recognizing all this chaos that sin brings, where do we find our stability? Without God, we have none. There is no stability without the one true God. And that is what Solomon is emphasizing over and over again. He doesn't necessarily say it like that, but that is what he is saying. That's why when you look at Ecclesiastes, a lot of people will look at it and say, wow, that's kind of confusing. It just seems so down and, oh, I just... And yes, you can. You can read Ecclesiastes and feel just life is vain, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What's the purpose of living? That is the point. But don't despair. Because now we come to the third point that he brings out in Ecclesiastes. And that is this, that life is in God's hands. Comfort. God controls the reach of sin. As I said, the first point was this, life ends the same for all, the death, the punishment for sin. Life is unpredictable, the chaos, the result of man's free will to sin. And then we see that life is in God's hands. And we have comfort that God controls the reach of sin. You see, God gives all things to all men. Solomon says this, "This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." He's talking in chapter 2. He sees that everything comes from the hand of God. And he's talking about living his life, enjoying pleasure, enjoying mirth, enjoying the good things upon earth. I saw what was good for the sons of men all the days of their life. He says, I even made great works. I built this temple to honor and glorify God. I planted vineyards. I got servants. I got maidservants. I built a huge nation. I'm known as the wisest man upon earth. People from all over the world come to me to ask questions. Everything I saw in my heart's desire to do, I did it. I experienced it. I looked at it. I studied it. I learned about it. But then in verse 24, he says this. He sums it up. I saw that it was from the hand of God. He reiterates this in chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. We can do nothing without God allowing it. We cannot even take a breath to live without God allowing it. Very life itself, the fact that our hearts beat and that we inhale and process that oxygen through our lungs and we exhale and we do it again and again and again and we don't even think about it, all is a gift of God. And not just our living, not just the fact that we breathe and live and all our wealth is given to us by God. Everything we work for, the strength to work for it, is given by God. He then comes to chapter 9 and verse 1. He says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this. What? That the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Why do good men die? Because of the chaos of sin. But also because they're in the hand of God. And it may not seem fair to us. We don't understand. But Solomon understood enough in his wisdom to say, the righteous, the wise, all that the good works they do, that's in the hand of God. God knows what he wants to happen upon this earth. It's under his control. He controls how far sin affects us. He controls the chaos that affects us in our lives. He does not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. But will with each temptation, what? Give us the strength to endure and overcome. And we should not just find comfort that God gives us everything, but we should find comfort in this, that God's works alone last forever. In chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, why? That men should fear before him. You see, Solomon is writing the book of Ecclesiastes, again, as I said, with the perspective that without God, this is what life on earth is. It is vanity. It is worthless. It holds no meaning. There is no reason to live. In fact, in other places he says, it would be better to be a child who was never born, who dies in the womb, than to be a person who lives upon this earth, because it is so vain and so worthless without God. But what God does lasts forever. What God does and says will never go away. And in his wisdom, in his studying of life and everything he saw in his wisdom that God granted to him, Solomon summed it up to say, without God, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But he says, but I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. We can't add to it. We can't do anything better for God. We can't make anything that God does or says better. All we can do is accept it as a gift from him. All we can do is acknowledge what God continues to do every day of our existence. We can't take away from it. Men have tried over all these ages. Hitler tried to kill all the Jews and all the Christians who supported them. Communism tries to get rid of any belief in God. All these movements, things that we see today, wicked men in our government who are trying to erase God and trust in God from the lives of every man and say, trust in us, the government, we'll take care of you. They try to take away from God. They're not the first. Men through the ages have done so over and over and over again. Even religious men, religious Jews, leaders, attempted to erase the Son of God himself and his influence. But God endures. God alone is forever. So don't lose hope, Christian. When you come and you read a book like Ecclesiastes, keep the mindset, your focus, where it ought to be. Understand that Solomon is saying all these things, saying that without God, this is life. And then be comforted by comparing it with Scripture, the other Scriptures, that with God, nothing shall be impossible. So when you see that good person die early, and the wicked continue to live, you can say, you know what, I have peace in my heart because I know God's in control. I know that death comes because of the chaos of sin, and this is what sin does. Sin brings death. But I trust in God. I fear God. And I will continue to fear God no matter what happens. And that's why Job, a righteous man who understood this, who eschewed evil, was so honored by God. To prove his power. Job said, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave the same. Solomon says that again in Ecclesiastes. Naked came I into this world. Naked will I leave. We brought nothing with us. We can take nothing with us. It's all about God's honor and glory. God is in control of all things. When you see the wickedness that prevails upon the earth, Do not fear. When you are troubled by the effects of sin, take heart and look to God. For he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you are brought down by your own sinful nature, which remains in you, which I talked about last time, how wicked our own nature is and how it can twist our thought and convince us of that which is wrong. When you are brought down by that, turn to God in repentance, and he will forgive you and cleanse your heart. Why? Because of his word. He says, if we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to focus on God. We have to keep God in the center of it all. For without him, it is vain and it is worthless. Now maybe you're here and you're unsaved and you say, I've never given my life to God. I look at life and I think, what's the reason for it all? What's the purpose? Why do we live? What is there to look forward to? What is there to gain? Just go find happiness in whatever I can in this world? Whatever brings me pleasure for the moment? Is that my purpose? That's what the unsaved in this world do. That's what this world does. They look for the here and now. Whatever I think works best for me. And if you're unsaved, that is your life. Your life stuff consists of vain things. There are no answers for you until you turn to the one true answer, the God died for my sin, paid my penalty, and defeated death itself so that I no longer have to fear. I can have that hope, that blessed peace of an eternal existence with him. Because it's not about what's here on earth. It is about what will be for eternity. Will I be in heaven or in hell? Am I giving God control, or am I trying to control everything? That's what we must remember out of the book of Ecclesiastes. When we come back this afternoon, my fourth point will be that life is to be lived by wisdom, because that's what he finally says in the book of Ecclesiastes, is talking about how then to live your life. I trust you'll be back this afternoon to hear the conclusion. Let's pray.